You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Really disappointed, so I'm going to Bojo's on Thursday. Because I was craving Bojo's pizza, not the pizza I had.
There's no replacement. It's a specific that you can't have, like, literally any, even other good pizza. You know, like, it's just not Bojo's. There's only one place you can get pizza that tastes like that, straight up.
And, I mean, I can't have the cheesy bread that you get. The honey cheesy bread. Oh, my God. It sounds so good. I can't have that, but I'm going with a bunch of the DNVR crew, so... They're going to eat that, and they're going to just explain it to me.
We are. I didn't get the invite.
We'll describe it in detail.
Well, you can come, Harrison. You can come.
Apparently not.
I feel like it's going to be torturous, but, I mean, it's probably going to be delicious. You guys should try it out. Mention DNVR and get a free honey cheese bread with the purchase of any entree at Bojo's. All you got to do is mention DNVR, and you'll get free honey cheese bread. I mean...
Can't be free.
I'm really upset about it. I feel like I shouldn't even go because I can't get the free honey cheese bread.
No, you should go and watch me eat it and enjoy it and describe it to you in detail.
Nobody out. 3-2 on Charlotte. Jokic gets it across the timeline. Gets a high pick and pop with Murray. Lindsay breaking through.
Taken away by Nathan MacKinnon. 2-on-2 with Landeskog.
He has done it again. Vaughn Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Dom two hands. Nikola Jokic.
Grubauer with the left pad. Oh, goodness gracious me.
Take a good look. You won't see it from long. Two-run home run. Trevor Story. Touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders. Got it. Oh, man. That's from way downtown. And the blue arrow is flying at Pepsi Center. Score! It's too good to be true.
Okay, well, this is the Denver Sports Podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery. Did you open yours yet?
No.
Love that sound. This is their Mile High. Well, maybe one of you guys can talk while we're sipping our beer.
We were preoccupied.
Someone said cheeseless pizza is not pizza. You know what? I will die if I have cheese pizza. So
she will actually die.
Yeah.
Let me.
And we need out.
We couldn't do the TDSP.
Right.
Let me enjoy my cheeseless pizza. I actually stopped eating anything that tasted better with cheese for like 4 years because I was like, there's just no point. I know how good it is. And that was really sad. Now I enjoy pizza again.
Do you mess with like soy or the
no,
fake cheeses?
No, none of those work.
Yeah.
My
not
throat
the same.
Just feels like it's closing. So, anyways, this is Mile High City Copper Lager. And speaking of Mile High City, we have to just jump right into the Nuggets win yesterday over the Spurs. I mean, they were down by at least 23 points at one point. And third quarter, fourth quarter, they stepped up. Paul Millsap stepped up. Jamal Murray, who seemed to be playing hurt, stepped up. What'd you think of that game, Harrison?
It was unbelievable. One of their best comebacks of all time. Down 23 with 6:26, I believe, to go in the third. And, yeah, they outscored San Antonio by a crazy amount since. Jamal Murray was incredible. And he's been incredible really ever since coming back from this most recent ankle sprain. And he was incredible in the second half after doing nothing in the first half. He was awful in the first half, but had 23 over the third and fourth quarters, 14 in the fourth, And then Paul Millsap was great.
His birthday, too.
Happy birthday, Paul Millsap. 35 never looked so young.
I mean, Jamal Murray was hurt. He even said to the media that he called his dad when he went to the locker room at halftime being like, I'm in just so much pain. I don't know if I want to play.
And yeah, I didn't know that happened. I didn't know players called their parents at halftime.
I know.
That was news to me.
Yeah. I mean, baseball players call people and text people and talk to fans and stuff during the game all the time, but it's a little different.
But like halftime, halftime, you literally have it's 15 minutes on the clock.
Right.
Your coach has got to talk for at least 5 minutes, right. I would think. You go back out to the court with a couple minutes left to warm up again. There's not a big window in there.
That doesn't seem like enough time to be doing all that.
No, I was taken aback by that. I didn't know that was a thing that happened. I don't think it's like a rampant thing in the NBA, people calling others at halftime, but I think people text and whatnot.
But I mean, we've heard so much about Jamal Murray's relationship with his dad and how much his dad helps push him. Maybe he needed just a quick 1 minute phone call being like, Dad, I'm hurt, and his dad being like, get out there and play. Mm-hmm. And I mean, thankfully he did, because he was part of the reason the Nuggets were able to come back. They have their best start in franchise history at 38-16 on the year. Were you expecting that at the start of the season?
Thought it was on the table. I thought it was on the table. They brought back everybody from last year. They got a year older. They got Michael Porter Jr. They got Jeremy Grant. They got better. So I thought it was definitely on the table. And you know, it was at some points over the first quarter of the season it was a little up and down, but no, they've been great. And Jamal Murray's halftime conversation with his dad was just a great storyline to put a cap on last night. And they, like you said, they do have a fascinating relationship. I mean, some listeners that are tuning in right now probably know about all the stuff Roger Murray had Jamal do when he was younger, like shoot free throws out in the freezing Canada winter after doing a wall sit for 12 minutes while balancing cups of tea on his knees. Like, these are things Jamal Murray did to learn how to fight through the pain, to learn how to fight through adversity. Yes, maybe sometimes it's a little cheesy, but when he can barely walk in the first half and then comes back in the second half and is the best player on the floor, I mean, there's something to that for sure.
Not going to lie, the last time I was doing wall sits, I was like, come on, Allie. Jamal Murray had hot stuff on his head. I told our trainer, and she was like, a what? A father did that to their son? I don't know if that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be like accepted in 2020.
Oh, man. So is on a broader scale, is Jamal one of those guys who hears what's being said? He hears the whispers, he hears the criticisms, and he'll take it one way or the other, or is he one of those shut it all out guys? He doesn't care what people are saying. So he's not responding to the first, because like you said, I mean, I think the consensus, right? He had a pretty objectively bad first half, and everyone was expecting this to be his breakout year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say bad. He had sky high expectations
for the
coming into this year, signed the max deal, and hadn't lived up to the expectation I think we all had of him. He still had a solid first half of the season, but yeah, not where the expectations were. He said this after the Portland game, the first game he came back after missing 10 games with the latest sprained ankle. He said that the time away from the court allowed him to kind of recalibrate, watch a lot of film, get a different perspective on how this team plays, how this team is supposed to play. And he says he came back refocused, and so far, four games since, that seems to be the case. It seems to like he's letting the game come to him more. He's not forcing everything. He's playing within the offense. So far, you know, what he said after that Portland game, he's backed up. You know, we'll see if that can continue. But I definitely feel like there was a little bit of reflection when he was out for those 10 games. And, you know, it's a good storyline. And it's something he's backed up for four games now, but we'll see if it continues.
I mean, if he really turns it on and finishes out the season and becomes what we thought before the season he could be, and then the Nuggets make this run, like, that's going to be one of the best stories that you're going to get to write at the end of the year, right?
Right.
The season of Jamal Murray going even back to the end.
Still to be determined, though.
Right.
Because, like I said, it's a great talking point. It's a great narrative to get out there. But it's been four games. It's been true. But, you know, we'll see what happens over the next couple months. But I feel like he's in a really good space right now, although, you know, he does get a little banged up last night.
And I mean, he did get banged up again. But He got some momentum going. He's had a few great games, and now we only have one game before a decently long All-Star break, not as long as the Avs break. But do you think there's a chance he can step back? I mean, I feel like a lot of players sometimes get a little rusty after not being out there on the court.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine just because the time off that he got. He got 2 weeks off with that ankle injury, and he's about to get another like 7 days off or so. That can help him just get fresher and whatnot. But the injuries are always a concern.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to need this time off, although he said last night that he's definitely playing against the Lakers on Wednesday. But, yeah, he'll need this time off just to get his body right.
We had a chance to see the home debut of some of these new Nuggets. Was there anyone who stood out to you?
Well, Jordan McRae had the biggest night last night out of the three. I think Keita Bates-Diop got in there for a couple minutes. But McRae, I've been saying this on the DNVR Nuggets podcast, he's the Malik Beasley replacement. He's actually shooting better from three than Beasley is this year. I don't know if that's still the case with how hot Beasley's been in Minnesota these last two games. But at the point of the trade, he was shooting better than Beasley was from three. You know, he can get hot in a hurry. He can fill it up. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get. And when the Nuggets are fully healthy, he's probably not going to get much. And he's also not the guy who can just totally change the momentum of a game like Beasley can. He's a backup. He's probably your fourth or fifth guard at best if you're a real contending team. But he can shoot it, and that's solid to have off the bench as kind of a break glass in case of emergency guy.
Since we recorded last week's pod on Monday, we really didn't have a chance to talk about the trades that happened. What would you give the Nuggets trade grade?
Yeah, I give it a B to a B+. And from
Brendan's looking a little shocked at that.
Well, you got to understand, from a front office doing good basketball business perspective, this was a good trade. You took two guys who weren't going to be here next year, and Malik and Wancho, got a first-round pick that's probably going to be in the low to mid-20s. So that was a good return. And then you got a couple guys who can, you know, help you out in case you're really banged up, which the Nuggets have been at times this year. So you can talk about if they should have flipped Beasley last summer, when I'm pretty sure they could have gotten a better first-round pick for him and when his value was higher. Maybe they mismanaged that. But for what they did at the time of the deadline, it was a move that made sense, I think.
Hey, AJ, you've been real quiet. What did you think about it?
It was fine. I mean, I think it's smart business.
Yeah.
You're going to lose guys for free. You get a first-round pick. That first-round pick that you can turn around and use because they don't have their own. They traded for Jeremy Grant.
Correct.
And NBA's got that weird rule where you can't trade multiple years of first-rounders. So I think that just gives them more assets if they want to do something bigger down the road. You know, it's just good business. And then that they went out and they followed it up with getting McRae was fine, because then they replaced what they lost in Beasley. And when they're healthy, they don't miss Wancho at all. So
right. And if you look ahead to this summer, like you said, they can use that first round pick to go get maybe a Drew Holiday, maybe a Bradley Beal. And McRae, like I said, he's not nearly as good as Beasley. He doesn't have the ceiling Beasley has. Obviously, he's much older. He can't change a game like Beasley can. But he is going to be a way cheaper Beasley replacement if they keep him around. He's going to be closer to a minimum contract than Beasley, who's going to be getting $10-plus million a year.
So you think there is still a possibility where Drew Holiday's in the picture for the Nuggets?
Well, I think this summer is when Denver could look to make a big move, and there's a better chance they make a big move this summer than there was at the deadline. I just get the impression they want to see what this roster can do in the playoffs. And then, based on how the playoffs go, you know, if they have a lot of success, maybe they run it back. If they losing the first round, have an early exit, maybe they look to change things up. But I feel like this summer is going to be a big turning point in either direction, and I think it's going to have a lot to do with just how the playoffs go.
So I hate this type of analysis, but a lot of times this happened with the Rockies a couple times last year too. You lose a guy, of course he goes somewhere else, he's going to ball out.
Of
on
course.
A scale
Are you
of
talking
1
about
to
DJ
10.
LeMahieu?
he wasn't the only one. DJ was the biggest one, though, for sure. But, I mean, I'm more even talking like Mike Tauchman, who just didn't have a place on the Rockies, much like Beasley. Like, you just don't have a spot, man. So we got David Dahl. We don't need Mike Tauchman. But Then, of course, he goes and he hits like 300 for the Yankees for a couple of months. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how annoyed are Nuggets fans by the production of Beasley so far in Minnesota?
Well, I'd say a 5 maybe.
Good for them. Good.
Because
good because it,
they would be annoyed a lot more if Denver wasn't on a 4-game winning streak right now. Right? If Nuggets had made this trade and then dropped a couple games, people would be like, "What? What's going on here?"
Right.
But the fact that they're going to win and probably keep winning numbs that a little bit. But you did trade Beasley to a division opponent. You have to play him 4 times a year. You know, this is coming after you've already given Portland their franchise center, after you made a draft day deal with the Jazz that netted them Donovan Mitchell. So this is helping, in a way, another division opponent out, which kind of sucks for Denver.
I mean, Beasley's mom thinks he's going to drop 50 on the Nuggets.
I mean, he will try to.
he's going to take 50 shots.
Over under 20 shots for Beasley.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
In that game, because it's coming
way
up
over.
A couple games after
way
the break.
Over.
Way over.
Way over?
Way yeah.
Over. I could see it. Way over, too. I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Anyone else have a question?
They got the Lakers Wednesday, which is probably the biggest showdown of the year so far.
Oh, yeah.
1-2 in the West right before the All-Star break. A game that doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things, but is going to have a lot of eyeballs on it. National TV, so.
Oh, it's on national TV?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Don't tune in, AJ.
I'm good. Find something else to do.
AJ, you know what Jamal Murray's dad said to him? Great moments.
Oh, yeah.
Born. It's a great opportunity.
And then hung up.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's right. It didn't need
that. He even had the pauses and everything. And then he just hung up. And he was like, all right, I've got to go wash dishes or something. Yeah.
So we joke about national television and the Nuggets not being pretty good at that this year. How do you think they're going to do? Do you see them pulling off a win on the Lakers?
I'll say yes, just because they're in a great rhythm right now. They're playing great. They got a lot of confidence. 4-game
win streak, like you mentioned.
Yeah. They got Paul Millsap back and they play great defense, and they actually match up against the Lakers a lot better with Millsap. He's going to help a lot in that game.
Oh, yeah.
They're at home, too, where they've been great. Even for the bad losses they've had at home on the season, they've been great at home. So I'll take them to win.
My question from earlier was going to be, we talked about this on our Nuggets weekly breakdown. The Nuggets have a tendency to be fair to their players, which is why I don't think Nuggets fans necessarily at the moment are mad, because they want to see Malik and Juancho succeed. And we talked about how they were going to have, like, at least Malik Beasley was going to have a shot at being a starter and kind of actually playing while he wouldn't here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to get a ton of minutes in Minnesota. And, like, helping, you know, guys that you're trading, like, that's a good thing on paper, I guess. It builds you up some.
I hate it.
It builds you up some goodwill with agents or whatnot.
I guess.
But
that
I mean,
can be a
if
thing.
You're a top tier team that's going to be contending year in and year out, that players should want to play for you. I mean, at some point, that stuff I don't think should really matter as much as it does when you're a rebuilding team, like what? Denver has kind of gone on that track.
Why do you hate it, Drew?
I think, and this more comes from baseball, where there's far less parity. Like, there really are only 4 teams in baseball who compete every single year. And so it's more the natural conclusion that, like, if you're a mid or low market team, you should never be allowed to keep your players. Like, you should have to keep moving guys off of your team to make them happy so that they can go somewhere else and compete, or so that they're not stuck in some situation. On the one, it's like, it's just weird for me. It seems like in every other element of transactions in professional sports, the GMs and the owners and the players all come and talk to us and they go, it's a business. It's a business, and we've got to accept that when they do all of those things. So it's like, if you're running your team to win, like, helping out a guy who you're moving off of your roster, I don't think should be anywhere on your priority list as a general manager. Like, and it's really weird when it comes up with the Rockies all the time. Like, Nolan Arenado, they got to get rid of him so he can go somewhere he can win and play for a franchise that, you know, will appreciate him, which is not the same thing that Harrison's talking about with the Nuggets. But in any circumstance, you don't trade a player off of your roster unless you think it's going to help you win baseball or basketball or football or hockey games.
And I don't think it's something that's super high on their priority list, but if Denver had the choice to trade somebody to, I don't know. Well, I mean, it depends on the player, because like if he deserves more playing time in the league, like you might deal him somewhere. But I think I'm largely with Drew on this one, though. I really am.
What about you, AJ?
Yeah, I don't care what the player wants.
No.
I mean,
how do you see it, like, compared
player,
to hockey?
Player empowerment is great, and players have kind of taken control of their own destinies, their own futures in a lot of sports in a lot of ways, and it's kind of a thing that basketball is getting known for. Like, these guys are just making their own teams, you know, forcing their way to bigger markets, to do whatever. That's great. But from a management perspective, like, who cares?
I also think it's something that you can say after the fact. Like, the Minnesota deal was probably the best deal they had out there at the time. And you make the trade, and you're like, oh, yeah, we sent him to a good situation, too. You can say that after the fact.
Right. Yeah, and, like, great. Like, cool. Like, you want to get, like, a reputation for being good to players. That's awesome. The Tim Connelly and the Nuggets can build up that reputation. It's not going to make them more competitive in a free agent market. They're not. It's not like a major free agent is going to hit the market and be like, oh, well, if things don't go well, the Nuggets will trade me somewhere I want to go.
Like, and that stuff matters more for, like, bad teams than it does for good teams.
Right. Yeah, I just.
Also, Beasley and Wancho are going to be free agents or restricted free agents after this year anyway, so they can kind of make up their mind where they want to go.
They're gonna get a decent amount of money wherever they go, wherever they land, and it doesn't matter, honestly. Like, it's cool to do right by players in a lot of situations, especially if you're a former player as a GM. But, I mean, like, making it a thing. Like,
it was really
trying to sell it as, like, a thing. Like, oh, this is a positive. Like, it's like, you're just lying to me now.
There was a whole dumb battle over this on both sides when the Rockies traded Troy Tulowitzki. And he was mad they traded him to the Blue Jays. So he was like, he wanted to play in California, New York, or whatever. In a
they don't owe
market.
Him anything.
They owed him nothing, but at the same time, they wanted to be like, no, we felt like we did set him up. And then when the Blue Jays went on to make, like, a deep run into the postseason that year, everyone was like, see, they traded him to a great situation. We're all happy for Tulo. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Stop. And if you are, stop it. Don't. I mean, fans be happy for Tulo all you want. I'm talking about the GM had zero responsibility to set Troy Tulowitzki up to be successful in his post-Rockies career.
No. Do you need to do right by your organization first, second, third, fourth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if fifth it happens to go to a good situation, cool. Pat yourself on the back, Chief.
Yeah. Yeah, be happy for him if he's doing well. But
well,
I'm good with that. I agree.
Drew, your car got stuck in the snow today.
Yes, it did. I could have used Denver Rubber Company.
You needed someone with a good snowplow.
I did.
And you need to just hit up Denver Rubber Company.
I probably will. Like, legit, I'm going to need to winterize my whole situation.
Instead of buying a house, you should buy a snowplow.
I think I'm actually going to flip those.
but get a house with a garage.
Then
you won't have to dig out your car.
There you go. For whatever I need to winterproof the new house, though, I know who to call.
Denver Rubber Company. And Denver Rubber Company is your one-stop shop for anything snow plows. The blades can be cut to any length and slotted for mounting to meet your exact specifications. Be sure to call them today for any snow plow needs, custom gaskets, hoses, etc. 1-800-259-0010 or visit them at drcfirst.com/DNVR and tell them who sent you. AJ.
What up?
We heard some news this morning that's not very happy. We will talk about this incredible road trip that the Avs had, besides Philly. But Nazem Kadri is out indefinitely.
Yeah.
Jared Bednar made it seem definitely weeks. What do you think of that situation?
It's one of, I would say, the two players they just could not afford to lose.
I know.
It was MacKinnon and it was Kadri. And the reason that they were able to sustain injuries earlier in the season is because you have a lot of wings. And hockey is played through the middle of the ice. And that's where you have to be good to be successful. You don't build Stanley Cup winning teams from the wall in. You don't build it from the back end in. You have to be good at center. And that was where Kadri had been the linchpin for the Avalanche and their success this year. The biggest difference on the team, you know, Burakovsky's been great. Nichushkin's been a nice revelation. blah, 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 blah. But Kadri has been the X factor, their biggest difference maker of all the changes from last year's team. And he was the second most important guy on the team. They could not afford to lose him.
It felt like things were going to be okay, though, because he did walk off the ice and head into the locker room, but then he came back.
Yeah, it was right at the end of the second period with like 40 seconds left, and so it was like down the tunnel, and you're like, okay, well, we'll see. And then he comes back out at the start of the third, and you're like, huge, huge, huge bullet dodged here. And then he goes out there for one shift, and he clearly doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Back down the tunnel, and that's when you know it's bad. And then they make no moves. They say nothing to anybody. And then today, you know, Jared Bednar goes on the radio show on Altitude this morning and says it's going to be weeks. Doing some of my own individuals reporting this morning, it sounds like it's more of the 4-6 variety than the 2-4. So with the trade deadline 2 weeks away, obviously that becomes a much different conversation than it was 48 hours ago.
And you guys are doing a trade show tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Trade deadline show, yeah. Live yeah. show, so be trade sure show. To check that out.
I cannot believe how late the trade deadline is in the NHL season.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how early y'all's was. Like, you guys have your trade deadline before the All-Star game, and our All-Star game is there's a month between
right.
the two of
your
them.
Your All-Star game is way in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it's like this is done. Like, we're in the sprint to the postseason now, and now we've got to deal with the trade deadline coming up, so... that was about as bad as it, in terms of injuries as it could have been for them.
So they take on the Ottawa Senators tonight. How do you think missing Kadri affects them in this game specifically?
It'll hurt them in every game, but, Ottawa's pretty bad, so, they should be okay. You're significantly worse with Kadri out of the lineup. You're significantly worse.
All right, Drew, we can talk about the happy things now. You were really sad when you were almost not on this podcast because you wanted to talk about the Avs beating the Blue Jackets.
Well, I wanted to talk about all of it, but then the Wild game got me legitimately angry. Like,
welcome to Colorado Avalanche fandom.
Basically, yeah. Like, it's the first time I've actually been mad watching hockey.
Minnesota does that.
What the hell, man? You just stop playing the game? Like, I felt like the Spurs used to do this back in the Bruce Bowen days. Like, if they fell behind early or something, their goal was, like, let's just muck it up. Let's go stand under people's feet and slap at people's wrists and just destroy the flow of this game. We did the movie speeches thing, and when Michael Sheen comes out and tells his captain, I want a clean... beautiful brand of football for my captain. It was like the Minnesota coach told him the exact opposite. I want an ugly, disgusting, brutal brand of hockey out there. Go make this thing disgusting because people are going to get hurt. And people got hurt.
Yeah, well, on top of not being very good, Minnesota's also really one-dimensional. They can only play from ahead. So when they got down, and then when they got down by multiple goals, it was like, we're in trouble. We need to do something else. And then, of course, Colorado's penalty kill is the gift that keeps on giving opposing teams goals. And so it was more competitive than it should have been. And Minnesota used to do this all the time with the Avs. They used to just bully the Avs. And the Avs would fold like the French, and it was over. But they don't have that attitude anymore. They just don't.
Hey, yeah.
That is the quote. If we ever had a quote wall, that is a quote that would have to go up there.
Yeah, and so the Avs don't do that anymore.
Calvert wasn't having it.
Well, and this is that they went out and they got guys like Matt Calvert. They got Pierre-Edouard Belmar. They got Nazem Kadri.
Yeah.
They got guys who just don't take any guff from anybody.
Yeah.
Dad energy.
Yeah, well, and yeah. Matty Calvert is like the... He's like team uncle. Like
it was the first time I've truly enjoyed violence in hockey. When he shoved Dubnyk, whatever that guy, he wanted
a fight. And even Landy in the third period, you could see how heated he was.
Well, and
he was about to fight someone.
There's
too.
A lot of history here. Devin Dubnyk's been pulling this kind of nonsense his entire career. He and Landy got in a fight a couple years ago where Dubnyk hit him with his blocker right in the face. And Landy, after the game, was like, yeah, if I got to hit people with blockers too, I would also feel tough. And it was, right. And
yes, Landy.
Like Landy and like their captain, Mikko Koivu, is like the most like forgettable Finnish player of all time. Like a good hockey player, but like he's vanilla ice cream, right? He's just so bland. And
it's the country like, there's music like, cover band for Vanilla Ice Cream.
There's like legitimate hatred between Koivu and Landeskog. Like they can't stand each other. Some of that is Sweden, Finland, and some of that is Minnesota, Colorado. And so like some of the stuff that happened the other day that you saw, this goes back years.
Oh my god.
And with Dubnyk loves to take extra little shots at guys.
His most punchable face since Max Muncy.
Who like slashed at Cale Makar's hand and like Cale like dropped his stick and was like, oh my god, ow.
Yeah, I don't remember. The only thing I remember with Makar was Greenway tackling him after Makar tried to hit him, and Greenway was like, you're not allowed to do that, and I don't know.
And then Calvert was like, I'm going to show you what's allowed.
Yeah, well, and like Calvert, Calvert's like, you don't touch teenagers. Yeah. And
okay.
It's.
Don't put that one on the Twitter. It was. To live by. Advice from AJ. Do not touch teenagers.
I mean, for realsies. If you're a grown man, you don't go around picking fights with kids.
Seriously, though.
And it was just the way that it all played out. It was as encouraging as maybe any game this year, because this is one of the things. People think Colorado is soft. Okay. People think of the Avs as like, oh, they're a high-skilled team, but they can't take a punch. And like that's all Minnesota spent the last
Did
half of that game doing.
Did they watch Kadri literally so, almost kill someone and make the guy be out for two games,
literally beat a suspension out of him because they were like, well, he's already hurt, so we can't suspend him.
Yeah,
he beat a suspension out of a guy. Right. This is what I'm saying. Like, the perception of Colorado as soft is, one, is incorrect and has been incorrect all year. But two, now they're showing this. Teams are trying to go back to their tried and true formulas of we're gonna push them around and we're gonna see how it goes. And it used to work. They were not mentally tough enough to handle it, and they would just close up shop and Minnesota could do whatever they wanted. Because Minnesota only does this in Minnesota. They don't come into Pepsi Center and act like that.
Yeah.
They only do it in the XL Energy Center. Man. And for once, Colorado just said, we're not doing this. I've had enough of this. And they shut it down. They got the win, and they walked out of there. And, you know, the Kadri injury obviously hurts. But Minnesota has to know at this point that they're not for real.
Yeah.
And the big trade that they made yesterday, where they sold off one of their better players for futures, really indicates like they're pretenders at best.
I mean, the Avs really were defending their guys and stepping up. Even Nathan, when someone was pushing Mikko around, was like in people's face. I'm like, yes, McKinnon. No,
McKinnon's a psycho. Like, we saw this years ago when Zach Rinaldo punched Sam Girard in the face. And McKinnon.
Oh my God, I remember that.
Yeah, and McKinnon and Landeskog like pulled Rinaldo like away over to the wall, and they were like, "All right, well, we're gonna take your lunch money in the most violent way possible." And Eric Johnson, of course, ruined that because he dragged Rinaldo out of there, and then, you know, beat the hell out of him. And McKinnon was like, "All right, well, now I've got to find somebody else to fight," and so he did. Like McKinnon's when that switch flips on McKinnon. That's one of the last guys in the world that I ever, like, you want to be wearing the same jersey as that guy when he decides it's time. Because he's a psycho. Like, when he wants to be, that dude's a loose cannon that's going to freak out on anybody.
All right,
and it's fun in a rivalry game.
Yeah. You brought up EJ. So let's talk about Eric Johnson. He really has been, Ryan accredited it to him just being older and getting lost with such fast young defenseman, but he really has been getting lost in the mix for just when you're watching the game, I feel like.
I think EJ is underappreciated at this point.
Okay.
Because we saw him during his prime.
Yeah.
At his very, very best, he was a high skill, tons of talent, lower IQ type of player where he didn't get by on smarts. He got by on physical ability. And now we've seen some of the physical ability start to disappear, and he's got to change his game up, and he's trying to figure it out on the fly. And we still see some of the same warts that we've always seen from him. But I think for the most part, he's fine. He just, there's no offense left in him, in his game at all. He's a defensive defenseman. You're going to get 10 to 15 points out of him, which is not enough, but it is what it is. And he's going to be really good in the areas in which he's good, and his decision-making is still going to waver from time to time. But I overall, I think he's very well-respected. He works hard. He sets a tone for that defense. He's kind of like the dad on defense. A lot of them come to him. A lot of them lean on him for advice and blah, 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 blah. So there's a lot of contributions from EJ. His on-ice stuff can be iffy at times. It didn't look good against Minnesota. Obviously, that first goal where his back is turned. Not good aesthetics. That's not his man. That's not his job. That's not his coverage.
Yeah.
Confer's the one who blew coverage there. But it looks bad. And when you give up a goal, it's never been the other team did something well. It's the Avs have done something. They've screwed something up, and they're all idiots, and they're all useless, and they're all terrible. So that just wasn't the case. Like, Confer blows coverage, and EJ ends up being the guy that looks bad.
Yeah.
And it's kind of – sometimes EJ is the guy that looks bad, and it's somebody else, and he takes a lot of flack that he doesn't deserve. There's plenty of times where EJ makes the mistake. So it happens. But I think overall his defensive game is underappreciated. But he's definitely a diminished physical specimen from what he used to be.
All right. Well, I don't want you to give us too much from what you guys are going to talk about in your live show tomorrow. But are the Avs going to be buyers or sellers during the deadline?
I think they'll buy. I think they're a more motivated buyer today than they were 48 hours ago, where they were just sort of feeling it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think that they will probably more aggressively pursue something. And honestly, Ottawa's in town. If Ottawa just wanted to leave J.G. Pageot here, that would be fine.
Who do you think needs to step up in Kadri's absence tonight? Is that Tyson Jost?
It's MacKinnon.
Okay.
It's the top line has to go back to dominating. You want to – they basically need to go back to how they won last year. If Tyson Jost wants to step up, that would be great.
Yeah.
If JT Confer's the guy that's getting the first crack at it at 2C right now, that would be great. He hasn't been very good this year. So that would be ideal, but we're going to see a lot of mixing and matching. And really, Nathan MacKinnon needs to go back to being the guy that's scoring almost 2 points a game and not this, 4 points in five games since the All-Star break. He needs to go back to dominating games.
Yeah. Well, last time we did TDSP, it was Monday, so we were talking about a very depressing loss to Philadelphia Flyers. Oh my god. But then after that, they won four straight, finished their road trip 4-1, outscored their opponents in those four games 15-5. What'd you think of their performance stepping up after getting shaking the rust off?
More than anything, they just took care of business. They got the goaltending they needed to be competitive against against Columbus and Minnesota. They got the, they waffle stomped the bad teams that they rolled into. Ottawa and Buffalo don't belong on the same ice, so.
Waffles
sound really good, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Breakfast food is superior to all food, so I'm down.
Facts.
But they took care of business against bad teams. That's what they need to do. They've got a lot of bad teams on their schedule in the next 6 weeks. So if there's some solace to be taken in Kadri's injury, it's that there's a lot of bad teams that they will be playing, and a lot of them at home in the next month and a half.
Do you think they'll beat the Senators tonight?
Sure.
Okay.
They should. Yeah. It's the NHL, so anything could happen. Brady Tkachuk could go crazy. He's their best player by far. J.G. Pageot could make his case to stay and be like, please trade for me right now. Come get me, please. But ultimately, like, if Colorado can play up to 80% of its capacity, Ottawa shouldn't be on the same ice as them.
So we got a question on the Periscope saying, but does the Avs have a chance at the playoffs this year, honestly?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
they're on a 106-point pace.
1,000% chance.
They are I always say that the line of demarcation for making the postseason is a 95-point season. They're at 70 right now. That's 25 points in the last 25 games.
Yeah.
With or without Kadri, that's very, very doable. They should be a playoff team. And honestly, if they're not in the top three in the Central, it's a disappointment.
Someone else on the Periscope said, right on, AJ, well said. Then someone else said,
"Agreed." Yeah, that was probably me.
Yeah.
Oh, that was you.
Was
interestingly, me as a Serbian who doesn't know the rules in baseball, hockey, and American football, but I know who to cheer for, and that's the Rockies, the Avs, and the Broncos.
That's the correct answer.
Thanks for watching. All the way from Serbia. Sir.
Shout out our Serbian followers.
Yeah.
Also, the Rockies are a lot easier to cheer for if you don't know the rules.
It's true.
And then we, of course, have a fun little comment from the account Fire Breidich Now saying, oh, Fire Breidich. Thank you to everyone.
On brand.
Thank you for everyone who's leaving comments on the Periscope. Keep asking us questions. But before that, got to tell you about Green Mountain Dental Group. You know, all you got to do is take care of your teeth and hit them up, and they will give you a free Sonicare toothbrush, scheduling a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Remember, just go get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, and you'll at Green Mountain Dental Group, and you'll receive a free Sonicare toothbrush. You know, I'm feeling a little nervous on my reads. You guys said your reads were hilarious yesterday, so I really have been thinking about them. And then I'm like, man, I just can't. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's me doing the reads and these guys talking shit about me. That's why he thinks the reads are hilarious.
You don't think the reads are hilarious?
I don't know. I might be funny. I don't know.
I'll check those out.
Okay. Well, last week we had who won the week, and three people voted for Steve Atwater because he made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Three people on the panel?
Oh, not three people on this panel voted for Steve Atwater.
Yeah, rough week for Atwater.
I was going to say no respect.
Adam, now I know why there's not a Broncos guy on the podcast.
There we go.
Terrible sell job.
Ben Adams said, absolutely no way. Nikola Jokic deserves to win the week because he had had he'd carried the team on his back through the injuries.
If you think about it, Steve Atwater actually like didn't do anything last week. He was just getting
just
into the
made
Hall
it
of Fame.
Into
yeah.
the
but it was
pro
nothing
football.
That he did last week.
I mean,
I'm just trying to run a point here.
Zero sacks. Zero tackles last week.
Zero quarterback pressures.
I mean,
zero wins.
Maybe that's why some people were mad that the Nuggets didn't win the week, because I'm going to ruin it now. Steve Atwater won the week.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
Right.
Of course,
hopefully it was a runaway.
Yes, it was.
Good.
Just bad timing for Jokic. Like, of course, Jokic. The Nuggets were on a three-game win streak for our who won the week before that. Probably would have made it four if it weren't for Steve, because there really wasn't much going on. Just bad timing for Nikola.
If it hadn't been for Steve.
Yeah, life is hard.
Look, man, he played a really, really good week of basketball games. But, you know, Steve Atwater played a really, really good 13 years of football. And I feel like...
Yeah, none of which happened last week.
Well, yeah, you can't play 13 years of football in a week.
Someone asked, where is RK? He is at an important meeting. That's why he couldn't be here. But...
Who did the most and who did the least? Who was the dog and who was the beast? Who's in the boat and who's up a creek? Let's see. Who won the week?
I let it go for everyone who complains when I don't let it go. All right, Harrison.
Are those people here?
Drew is here. Who complains, Drew?
I can get a little, you know. I would have complained.
Get over it, dude.
All right.
Oh.
So you can hear it again.
Sound good on there. All right, Harrison, I'm going to start with you. Why did the Nuggets win this week? What did they do this week? Go.
I could have gone Jokic. He did win Player of the Week.
That's
honors
true.
In the NBA. I'm going to go Jamal Murray, though.
Okay.
He's been incredible this week. Like, the Nuggets had their best win of the Malone era, the best maybe regular season win in franchise history over the Jazz. Murray was their top scorer. And he has been unbelievable over these last four games. 29 points, shooting better than 50% from the field, like 50% from three as well. I mean, now this looks like the guy that we thought he could be preseason.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if this keeps up, man, Like, their time. Ceiling is elevated time. To another time. Level.
Wait, so Jokic has a 30, 20, and 10, and he doesn't win the week?
You know, AJ.
He's one of nine players ever to do that.
Nikola Jokic had a great week. I think Jamal Murray's week is more meaningful and more significant going forward, yes.
I agree.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, don't give him a hard time. He didn't win last week, so let him choose someone else.
Yeah, Drew, you should go with Jokic.
I might have to now. I was going to do something far more fun, but I feel like I should take Jokic.
All right, AJ, go.
I mean, I guess the Avs just in general won the week because they, you know, they won all four of their games and they destroyed two bad teams and then won 2 one-goal games, which was something that they've struggled to do a lot this season, including their first win in which they were entering the third period trailing, and they solved whatever the conundrum is of beating Elvis Merzlikins, beating him and scoring twice and coming back, and Nathan MacKinnon is a superstar and the Avs win
time.
The week.
Sorry, I just yelled on the mic. Sorry, you listeners.
Elvis Merzlikins?
Merzlikins.
That's an incredible name. That is freaking amazing.
I just want to say that I deserve to win the week because I think I'm the reason the Avs won that game. AJ, I know you hate this. I tuned in.
I wanted everyone's to tweet out after they scored. I wanted to be like, all the people who dared to do something different in the last 5 minutes, this is for you guys. But it just doesn't matter. I don't need to be that kind of a fun hater all the time. Aww. You guys enjoy taking whatever credit you think you deserve for something that you had no part in. Go off, right, girl. Have
people,
at it.
For the people who don't know, I tweeted like, so Saturday was a very busy week for Denver, or very busy day for Denver sports fans. So that was the third game I was watching. And I tuned in and I was like, all right, I'm watching the Avs game now. Everyone tweeted at me like, don't, it's so bad. They're losing. Don't do it. And I'm like, huh, maybe I'll bring them good luck. A minute later, they scored. Then a minute later. And then a few minutes later again, they scored and then they won the game. So, you know.
Just saying.
Yeah. Clearly, their success is dependent on your Saturday. Yeah.
Thanks, Allie.
Exactly. Yeah,
your schedule is the key. What were you doing during the Flyers game?
I actually wasn't watching.
See?
Brutal.
There you go.
There it is. We solved the problem of winning a Stanley Cup. Just have Allie watch games.
Just kidding. That was their first time they'd won in the third period when being down this entire season, though.
Yep. They
that
were the last NHL team to get one of those wins, which was dumb. It was dumb that it took them that long, but also it was only their 13th game all season in which they've been in that situation, which is way more important than how many they've won. Yeah.
Also, a crazy fact that I read was the Avs have not won 4 games in a 5-game road trip since 2011. That's crazy to me.
Well, and some of that is that they haven't had 5-game road trips very much. They've had 3 of them this year, but I went back 3 years and like they've had. Before this year, they'd had 1 in the last several years. And it was like, well. And then they had 3
That's
this year.
That's why that stat makes sense.
Every once in a while, that'll happen in baseball, too. It'll be like the first 4-game sweep for the Rockies in Miami since 2011. And you're like, it's the first time they've had a 4-game set in Miami since 2011.
Yeah. Before we get to you, Drew, since I really don't know who you're
going
to pick, we've got some Nuggets questions. I'm going to turn to you, Harrison, real quick on the Periscope. Someone said the Nuggets would win more if they up their rebound efforts alone. Murray will be a household name. Nuggets question, overall impression on Dozier.
I love Dozier. I think he's got a big Dozier higher ceiling than Monte Morris. Oh. And, I mean, defensively, he's like 6'5", 6'6", so he's really gifted defensively. Fits with the team, fits with the locker room. I think he could be a piece long term.
And then 15, 27, and question mark. What is the Nuggets trifecta?
15, 27, MPJ. And number one?
MPJ.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Oh, yeah. Other people wrote number one. Okay. Drew.
All right.
Why did... Just go.
Just go.
I'm not going to split the Nuggets vote and take Jokic, so blame Harrison if you want. Remember the Titans won the week because it has been crowned the definitive greatest sports movie of all time by you, the people of DNVR, the subscribers, the listeners, the readers have decided unequivocally that Remember the Titans is the greatest sports movie in the history of sports movies. Thanks, everyone, for having fun. It was a fun week, and Yeah, that's a pretty great honor. I think it's right, a solid time. Win.
Are we going to get Denzel on Skype or something?
I think we have to give him
the chance. Accept the award. Yeah. We need
can somebody tell him?
Can we give him a goatee?
Yeah.
we can give him the goatee.
Greatest
the
honor of his life.
AJ, you were kind of shaking your head. Did you think Miracle deserved to win?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
yeah, obviously.
Rudo said, "Remember the Titans too." When he watched both of them back, he thought, for multiple reasons, that "Remember the Titans" deserved to win overall.
Well, this is why Rudo and I make a great pod, is because he's wrong all the time and I correct him.
I also rewatched them both this weekend, and as much as I love Miracle, I think "Remember the Titans" was the right call.
I think the whitewashing of the coach's really negative history in real life is what bothers me the most about it. It's what makes it unsettling, and it makes it hard for me to watch that movie, knowing that Herb Brooks was a good dude and that Coach Boone maybe wasn't. So,
Z commented, "The Mighty Ducks were robbed."
Yeah, she.
Word.
Speaking of being wrong,
you know, let's
talk about my fiance's bad movie feelings.
Ducks fly together, girl. Let's go.
Oh yeah, she gets super emotional about it.
Correct. That is the only correct response to the Mighty Ducks.
God. Okay, and then we got the person who asked, the trifecta said, "Fine, that is my next jersey. Thank you, great choice." So you inspired someone to go get a jersey.
Yeah. Wow. Altitude or the Nuggets should hire me for that.
Yeah.
At least you
need to get
me some
cut.
Commission.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a cut.
You know, we do have a bunch of awesome shirts if you want to check those out, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buy one of our shirts.
Instead of the jersey.
But the jersey's pretty cool. I can understand. Drew
with
I can
a
understand.
Heart.
Oh, yeah.
So, cool with me.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for you guys this week. Be sure to subscribe to the Denver Sports Podcast feed. We had a bunch of different podcasts on there for Movie Week. Thank you to Drew and Adam for organizing that. It was so much fun. Everyone who participated, the fans who voted. So we had duo pods, then a bunch of pods just talking about those. We had our top 50 stuff on there. So be sure to just subscribe to that feed because you'll be getting a lot of great stuff. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.